I don't know if you've noticed, but the equity markets, the commodity markets, and bond markets have all been about as tranquil this week as a trio of cats tossed into a clothes dryer. No, I would never do that. I've never done that. But the sagging price of oil, the great sucking sound coming out of the slowing Chinese economy are all having an effect on stocks that would appear to have nothing to do with either of those. But a looming squeeze on liquidity in an environment where credit has been easy for tech companies has meant that some tech stocks are hitting the brakes. Some investors see their cash pipelines slowing down, and the markets are suddenly looking dubiously at the valuations of a lot of hot tech stocks. Joining us is Lise Buyer, founder and partner of Class 5 Group, a public offering consulting firm in Silicon Valley. Lise, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to join you and those cats in the dryer.
Yes, exactly. One of them is Twitter, trading below its IPO offering price. What does that mean, do you think?
Oh, gosh. Most of the companies that went public last year are, in fact, trading below their IPO price. And in short, what it means is people have less confidence in the future earnings ability of those companies than they did 6 or 8 months ago. But that could change again tomorrow.
Is this simply a reality check of valuations that have gotten inflated, or is there a real liquidity squeeze looming and that a lot of gut checking is going on in terms of the cash positions of investors who might actually keep this going?
Well, would that there were a simple answer. It's a little bit of both. You started this conversation by pointing out the what's going on with oil and what's going on with China, and those big macroeconomic events have a not only a tangible-ish impact, but also a psychological impact. They're a big part of the Dow Jones, and every day people are waking up and hearing the Dow is down another X hundred points. And you hear that day after day, it begins to shake people's credibility. Their
confidence.
Thank you very much. Yes, their confidence. Mm. So that's item number one. Item number two is also something you've already alluded to, which is over the last few years, there's been so much enthusiasm for some of these stocks that, as we like to say, some of their valuations have gone very far over their skis. And there's a gut check going on. In theory, the price of a stock represents the discounted stream of future earnings. And what that means is if they're going to earn $5 a share in 2 years and $5.80 in 3 years, you add up all the future earnings and then you say, yeah, but that's way out there, so I'm going to take a certain percentage off the top of that and bring it back to what those dollars in the future would be worth today. And there was a point last year where people just weren't doing any math. They were just saying more is better. And this particularly happened with private companies.
Let's talk about, since you mentioned skis, GoPro. What's wrong with this? Seems like such a hot thing you'd want to have, that everyone's going to have one. You see the devices for sale everywhere, yet the stock, the company can't even demonstrate how it's going to make money.
And there you've hit the nail on the head. On one hand, you have a very sexy computer product, a consumer product that so many people were so excited to get and to ski with and to bike with and to strap on. I don't know, I saw one last week on the side of someone's car. So there's a certain amount of enthusiasm about this company can sell products forever. I've got to own a piece of it. I know what it is. I know what it does. Then there's the problem of what have you done for me lately? The stock market isn't about what's happening today. It's about the value of what's going to happen later. And for all the near-term enthusiasm about the GoPro cameras, the question the market seems to be asking now is, okay, what's the next product? Was this all about being a one-trick pony, or can you bring me something else in a few months that will generate just as much enthusiasm and keep consumers rushing back to stores to put more money in the company's coffers?
You know, in the old days, I mean, GoPro was just a device, and, you know, it was a company that sold retail devices, and maybe they'd have an improved model that would come out. But strategically, I don't understand why VCs and even companies are positioning themselves as these vertical entertainment companies. Okay, you've got a sexy device. That means you have to have a movie, and then you have to have, like, celebrity endorsers who do videos and movies, and then it becomes this whole entertainment channel. There's got to be a limit to the number of those that there can possibly be in the world.
There does, but what really matters is how much potential investors want to believe. There's a long history in technology of cool, jazzy consumer products, the Walkman, the remember the Pure Digital, the flip video camera. There's a hot new device, and for the longest time, people would invest in the potential sales of those new devices. But those who sell the stocks and the investors who own them already and managements like to look to the future and say, how can I make my product even more valuable? And of course, the company who's done it brilliantly is Apple. Used to be a computer company. Now, they actually, the value is in things like iTunes and all the incremental products that they sell, the content that they sell that will run on the hardware that used to be the core of the business. So other companies are trying to follow that very lucrative, very successful path.
Give us a percentage before we go, and about less than a minute. What percentage of this is a strategic course correction within the tech space, and what percentage of this is driven by outside forces like the Chinese, a potential contraction, and commodity prices?
Stock prices are always a reflection of the trade-off between risk and reward. A while ago, everyone was very excited about potential reward and how fast these companies could grow. Now, with these outside issues, there's a greater fear impact. I'm going to say that the initial psychological and real change that comes from oil prices is probably responsible for half. And the fact that valuations became totally disconnected from the reality of what these companies can earn is definitely the other half. And probably that ratio will switch to 70-30 as we move forward.
From 50-50 to 70-30, those are pretty precise numbers there from Lise Buyer. Thanks so much.
Certainly, it's been a pleasure. And, nothing in the market is quite that precise, but trying to answer your question.
Lise Buyer is a founder and partner of Class 5 Group, a public offering consulting firm in Silicon Valley.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.